angels. It is me, Willow, and I am back with the ninth part of Lois Lowry's The Giver. If you haven't heard the other recordings, I strongly suggest you do that before you come to this one. They can be found pinned in the media channel of my Discord server. They can be found in the Safer Work Audio Index on my Reddit profile, which is also pinned to that profile. And I updated it today before this recording because I remember last night saying that it was updated, and I checked today and it was not. They can also be found on my Twitter, which is kind of a minefield because there's just a bunch of shit that I post there. But I would suggest the other two means first if you're able, but if not, you can scroll through and look for Soundgasm links. Anyway. We read three chapters last time because chapter 15 was very short, so we are starting on chapter 18 instead of starting on chapter 17. For some reason, okay, so I sometimes put my TV on as light. There's a fly in here. And there's poker on my TV for some reason. What channel is this? Anyway, I'm in bed, I'm cozy, have my glasses on, lights on. I have weird lipstick on because I was doing a makeup test for tomorrow. So if you're scrolling through Twitter, you'll find it. So you'll know what I'm talking about. Have something to drink. I'm settled and I'm excited. I love this book. I stupidly forgot to order the other ones when I was ordering something on Amazon earlier today, but I never claimed to be smart. Okay, here we go. Chapter 18 from Lois Lowry's The Giver. Giver, Jonas asked the next afternoon, do you ever think about release? Do you mean my own release or just the general topic of release? Both, I guess. I apologize. I mean, I should have been more precise. But I don't know exactly what I meant. Sit back up. No need to lie down while we're talking. Jonas, who had already been stretched out on the bed when the question came to his mind, sat back up. I guess I do think about it occasionally, the giver said. I think about my own release when I'm in an awful lot of pain. I wish I could put in a request for it sometimes, but I'm not permitted to do that until the new receiver is trained. Me, Jonas said in a dejected voice. He was not looking forward to the end of the training, when he would become the new receiver. It was clear to him what a terribly difficult and lonely life it was, despite the honor. I can't request release either, Jonas pointed out. It was in my rules. The giver laughed harshly. I know that. They hammered out those rules after the failure 10 years ago. Jonas had heard again and again now reference to the previous failure, but he still did not know what had happened 10 years before. Giver, he said, tell me what happened, please. The giver shrugged. On the surface, it was quite simple. A giver-to-be was selected the way you were. The selection went smoothly enough, the ceremony was held, and the selection was made. The crowd cheered, as they did for you. The new receiver was puzzled and a little frightened, as you were. My parents told me it was a female. The giver nodded. Jonas thought of his favorite female, Fiona, and shivered. He wouldn't want his gentle friend to suffer the way he had, taking on the memories. What was she like? He asked the giver. The giver looked sad, thinking about it. She was a remarkable young woman, very self-possessed and serene, intelligent, eager to learn. He shook his head and drew a deep breath. You know, Jonas, when she came to me in this room, when she presented herself to begin her training... Jonas interrupted him with a question. Can you tell me her name? My parents said that it wasn't to be spoken again in the community, but couldn't you just say it to me? The giver hesitated painfully, as if saying the name aloud might be excruciating. Her name was Rosemary, he told Jonas finally. Rosemary. I like that name. The giver went on. When she came to me for the first day, she sat there in the chair where you sat the first day. She was eager and excited and a little scared. We talked. I tried to explain things as well as I could. The way you did to me. The giver chuckled ruefully. The explanations are difficult. The whole thing is so beyond one's experience, but I tried, and she listened carefully. Her eyes were very luminous, I remember. He looked up suddenly. Jonas, I gave you a memory that I told you was my favorite. I still have a shred of it left, the room with the family and the grandparents. Jonas nodded. Of course you remembered. Yes, he said. It had that wonderful feeling with it. You told me that was love. You can understand, then. That's what I felt for Rosemary, the giver explained. I loved her. I feel it for you, too, he added. What happened to her? Jonas asked. Her training began. She received well, as you do. She was so enthusiastic, so delighted to experience new things. I remember her laughter. His voice faltered and trailed off. What happened? Jonas asked again after a moment. Please tell me. The giver closed his eyes. It broke my heart, Jonas, to transfer pain to her. But it was my job. It was what I had to do, the way I've had to do it to you. The room was silent. Jonas waited. Finally, the giver continued. 5 weeks. That was all. I gave her happy memories, a ride on a merry-go-round, a kitten to play with, a picnic. Sometimes I chose one just because I knew it would make her laugh, and so I treasured the sound of that laughter in this room that had always been so silent. But she was like you, Jonas. She wanted to experience everything. She knew that it was her responsibility, and so she asked me for more difficult memories. Jonas held his breath for a moment. You didn't give her war, did you? Not after just 5 weeks. The giver shook his head and sighed. No, I didn't give her physical pain. But I gave her loneliness, and I gave her loss. I transferred a memory of a child taken from its parents. That was the first one. She appeared stunned at the end. Jonas swallowed. Rosemary and her laughter had begun to seem real to him, and he pictured her looking up from the bed of memories, shocked. The giver continued. I backed off and gave her more delights, but everything changed once she knew about the pain. I could see it in her eyes. She wasn't brave enough, Jonas suggested. The giver didn't respond to the question. She insisted that I continue, that I not spare her. She said that it was her duty, and I knew, of course, that she was correct. I couldn't bring myself to inflict physical pain on her, but I gave her anguish of many kinds, poverty and hunger and terror. I had to, Jonas. It was my job, and she'd been chosen. The giver looked at him imploringly. Jonas stroked his hand. Finally, one afternoon, we finished for the day. It had been a hard session. I tried to finish, as I do with you, by transferring something happy and cheerful. But the times of laughter were gone by then. She stood up very silently, frowning as if she were making a decision. Then she came over to me and put her arms around me. She kissed my cheek. As Jonas watched, the giver stroked his own cheek, recalling the memory of Roseberry's lips 10 years before. She left here that day, left this room, and did not go to her dwelling. I was notified by the speaker that she had gone directly to the chief elder and asked to be released. But it's against the rules. The receiver in training can't apply for It's in your rules, Jonas, but it wasn't in hers. She asked for release, and they had to give it to her. I never saw her again. So that was the failure, Jonas thought. It was obvious that it had saddened the giver deeply. But it didn't seem such a terrible thing after all. And he, Jonas, never would have done it. Oh, would never have done it. Never have requested release, no matter how difficult his training became. The giver needed a successor, and he had been chosen. A thought occurred to Jonas. Rosemary had been released very early in her training. What if something had happened to him, Jonas? He had a whole year's worth of memories now. Giver, he asked. I can't request release, I know that, but what if something happened? An accident? What if I fell into the river, like that little four Caleb did? Well, that doesn't make sense. I'm a good swimmer. But if I couldn't swim and I fell into the river and was lost, then there wouldn't be a new receiver, but you would have already given away all of those memories. So even though they would select a new receiver, the memories would be gone except for the shreds that you have left them. And what if... He started to laugh suddenly. I sound like my sister Lily, he said, amused at himself. The giver looked at him gravely. You just stay away from the river, my friend, he said. Community lost Roseberry about 5 weeks, and it was a disaster for them. I don't know what the community would do if they lost you. Why was it a disaster? I think I mentioned it to you once, the giver reminded him, that when she was gone, the memories came back to the people. If you were lost to that river, Jonas, your memories would not be lost with you. Memories are forever. Rosemary only had those 5 weeks worth, and most of them were good ones. But there were a few terrible memories, and the ones that had overwhelmed her. For a while, they overwhelmed the community. All those feelings. They'd never experienced that before. I was so devastated by my own grief at her loss and my own feeling of failure that I didn't even try to help them through it. I was angry, too. The giver was quiet for a moment, obviously thinking, you know, he said finally, if they lost you with all the training you've had now, they'd have all those memories again themselves. Jonas made a face. They'd hate that. They certainly would. They wouldn't know how to deal with it all. The only way I deal with it is by having you here to help me, Jonas pointed out with a sigh. The giver nodded. I suppose, he said slowly, that I could... You could what? The giver was still deep in thought. After a moment, he said, If you floated off in the river, I suppose I could help this whole community the way I've helped you. It's an interesting concept. I need to think about it some more. Maybe we'll talk about it again sometime, but not now. I'm glad you're a good swimmer, Jonas, but stay away from the river. He laughed a little, but the laughter was not lighthearted. His thoughts seemed to be elsewhere, and his eyes were very troubled. I don't need a drink, but we are on to chapter 19. Jonas glanced at the clock. There was so much work to be done always that he and the giver seldom simply sat and talked the way they just had. I'm sorry that I wasted so much time with my questions, Jonas said. I was only asking about release because my father is releasing a new child today, a twin. He has to select one and release the other one. They do it by weight, Jonas said, glancing at the clock. Actually, I suppose he's already finished. I think it was this morning. The giver's face took on a solemn look. I wish they wouldn't do that, he said quietly, almost to himself. Well, they can't have two identical people around. Think how confusing it would be. Jonas chuckled. I wish I could watch, he added as an afterthought. He liked the thought of seeing his father perform the ceremony and making a little twin clean and comfy. His father was just a gentle man. You can watch, the giver said. No, Jonas told him. They never let children watch. It's very private. Jonas, the giver told him. I know you read your training instructions very clearly. Don't you remember that you're allowed to ask anyone everything? Jonas nodded. Yes, but... Jonas, when you and I have finished our time together, you will be the new receiver. You can read the books, you'll have the memories, you have access to everything. It's part of your training. If you want to watch a release, you simply have to ask. Jonas shrugged. Well, maybe I will then, but it's too late for this one. I'm sure it was this morning. The giver told him then something he had not known. All private ceremonies are recorded. They're in the Hall of Closed Records. Do you want to see this morning's release? Jonas hesitated. He was afraid that his father wouldn't like it if he watched something so private. I think you should, the giver told him firmly. All right then, Jonas said. Tell me how. The giver rose from his chair where I went to the speaker on the wall and clicked the switch from off to on. The voice spoke immediately. Yes, receiver, how may I help you? I would like to see this morning's release of the twin. One moment, receiver. Thank you for your instructions. Jonas watched the video screen above the row of switches. Its a blank face began to flicker with zigzag lines, then some numbers appeared, followed by a date and time. He was astonished and delighted that this was available to him, and surprised that he had not known. Suddenly, he could see a small windowless room, empty except for a bed, a table with some equipment on it. Jonas recognized the scale. He'd seen them before, when he'd been doing volunteer hours at the nurturing center. And a cupboard. He could see pale carpeting on the floor. It's just an ordinary room, he commented. I thought maybe they'd have it in the auditorium so that everybody could come. All the old go to ceremonies of release, but I suppose it's when it's just a newborn they don't... Shh, the giver said, his eyes on the screen. Jonas's father, wearing his nurturing uniform, entered the room cradling a tiny new child wrapped in a soft blanket in his arms. A uniformed woman followed through the door, carrying a second new child wrapped in a similar blanket. That's my father, Jonas found himself whispering, as if he might wake the little ones if he spoke around. And the other nurturer is his assistant. She's still in training, but she'll be finished soon. The two nurturers unwrapped the blankets and laid the identical newborns on the bed. They were naked. Jonas could see that they were males. He watched, fascinated, as his father gently lifted one of them over to the scale and weighed them. He heard his father laugh. Good, his father said to the woman. I thought for a moment they might be both exactly the same. Then we'd have a problem. But this one, he handed one after rewrapping it to his assistant, is 6 pounds even, so you can clean him up and dress him and take him over to the center. The woman took the new child and left through the door she had entered. Jonas watched his father bent over the squirming new child. And you, little guy, you're only 5 pounds and 10 ounces. A shrimp. That's a special voice he uses with Gabriel, Jonas remarked, smiling. Watch, the giver said. Now he cleans them up and makes them comfy, Jonas said to him. He told me. Be quiet, Jonas, the giver commanded in a strange voice. Watch. Obediently, Jonas concentrated on the screen, waiting for what would happen next. He was especially curious about the ceremony part. His father turned and opened the cupboard. He took out a syringe and a small bottle. Very carefully, he inserted the needle into the bottle and began to fill the syringe up with a clear liquid. Jonas winced sympathetically. He had forgotten now that new children had to get shots. He hated shots himself, though he knew that they were necessary. To his surprise, his father began carefully to direct the needle into the top of the newborn's forehead, puncturing the place where the fragile skin pulsed. The newborn squirmed and wailed faintly. "Why is he..." "Shh," the giver said sharply. His father was talking, and Jonas realized that he was hearing the answers to questions that he had started to ask. The special voice, and in that special voice, his father was saying, I know, it hurts, little guy, but we have to use a vein, and the veins in your arms are still too teeny-weeny. He pushed the plunger very slowly, injecting the liquid into the scalp until the syringe was empty. "All done. That wasn't so bad, was it?" Jonas heard his father say cheerfully. He turned aside and dropped the syringe into a waste receptacle. "Now, he cleans them up and makes them comfy," Jonas said to himself, aware that the giver didn't want to talk during the little ceremony. And he continued to watch, the new child no longer crying, moved his arms and legs in a jerking motion, and then he went limp. His head fell to the side, his eyes half open, and he was still. With an odd, shocked feeling, Jonas recognized the gesture and posture and expression. They were familiar. He had seen them before, but he couldn't remember where. Jonas stared at the screen, waiting for something to happen, but nothing did. The little twin lay motionless. His father was putting things away, folding the blanket, closing the cupboard. Once again, as he had on the playing field, he felt a choking sensation. Once again, he saw his face in the light-haired, bloodied soldier that had life leaving his eyes. The memory came back. "He killed it. My father killed it," Jonas said to himself, stunned at what he was realizing. He continued to stare at the screen numbly. His father tidied the room, then picked up the small carton that lay waiting on the floor, set it on the bed, and lifted the limp body into it. He placed the lid on tightly. He picked up the carton and carried it to the other side of the room. He opened a small door on the wall. Jonas could see darkness behind the door. It seemed to be some sort of chute in which trash was disposed at school. His father loaded the carton containing the body into the chute and gave it a shove. "Bye-bye, little guy," he heard his father say before he left the room, and then the screen went blank. The giver turned to him, quite calmly. He related, "When the speaker notified me that Roseberry had been applied for release, they turned on the tape to show me the process. There she was, my last glimpse of that beautiful child, waiting. They brought out the syringe and asked her to roll up her sleeve. You suggested, Jonas, that perhaps she wasn't brave enough? I don't know about bravery, what it is, what it means. I do know that I sat here numb and with horror, wretched with helplessness, and I listened as Rosemary told them that she would prefer to inject it herself. Then she did so. I didn't watch. I looked away." The giver turned to him. "Well, there you are, Jonas. You were wondering about release," he said in a bitter voice. Jonas felt a ripping sensation inside of himself, feeling terrible pain clawing its way forward and to emerge in a cry. Okay. That's a short reading, so I guess I'll do the next one. Maybe it'll feel better. Ugh. Fuck. They make you read this shit in school at 12. Like, as kids. Alright. I'm gonna read the next chapter just because I would be sad leaving it on that note. And I'm hoping that this chapter will make me feel better. So, chapter 20. I won't go home. You can't make me. Jonas sobbed and shouted and pounded at the bed with his fists. "Sit up, Jonas," the giver told him firmly. Jonas obeyed him, weeping, shuddering. He sat on the edge of the bed. He would not look at the giver. "You may stay here tonight. I want to talk to you, but you must be quiet now while I notify your family unit. No one must hear you cry." Jonas looked up wildly. "No one heard that little twin cry either. No one but my father." He collapsed into sobs again. The giver waited silently. Finally, Jonas was able to quiet himself, and he sat huddled, his shoulders shaking. The giver went to the wall speaker and clicked the switch to on. "Yes, receiver, how may I help you?" "Notify the new receiver's family unit that he will be staying with me tonight for additional training." I will take care of that, sir. Thank you for your instructions, the voice said. I will take care of that, sir. I'll take care of that, sir. Jonas mimicked in a cruel, sarcastic voice. I will do whatever you like, sir. I will kill people, sir. Old people, small newborn people. I'll be happy to kill them, sir. Thank you for your instructions, sir. How may I help you? He couldn't seem to stop. The giver grasped his shoulders firmly. Jonas fell silent and stared at him. Listen to me, Jonas. They can't help it. They know nothing. You said that to me once before. I said it because it's true. It's the way they live. It's the life that was created for them. It's the same life that you would have if you had not been chosen as my successor. But he lied to me, Jonas wept. It's what he was told to do, and he knows nothing else. What about you? Do you lie to me too? Jonas almost spat the question at the giver. I'm empowered to lie, but I have never lied to you. Jonas stared at him. Elise is always like that. For people who break the rules 3 times, for the old, do they kill the old too? Yes, it's true. And what about Fiona? She loves the old, and she's in training to care for them. Does she know that yet? What will she do when she finds out? How will she feel? Jonas brushed wetness from his face with the back of his hand. Fiona is already being trained in the fine art of release, the giver told him. She's very efficient with her work, your red-haired friend. Feelings are not part of the life that she's learned. Jonas wrapped his arms around himself and rocked his own body back and forth. What should I do? I can't go back. I can't. The giver stood up. First, I will order our evening meal. Then we will eat. Jonas found himself using the nasty, sarcastic voice again. Then we'll have to share our feelings? The giver gave a rueful, anguished, empty laugh. Jonas, you and I are the only ones who have feelings. We've been sharing them for almost a year. I'm sorry, giver, Jonas said miserably. I don't mean to be so hateful, not to you. The giver rubbed Jonas's hunched shoulders. And after we eat, he went on, we'll make a plan. Jonas looked up, puzzled. A plan for what? There's nothing. There's nothing we can do. It's always been this way. Before me, before you, before the ones who came before you, back and back and back. The voice trailed to that familiar phrase. Jonas, the giver said after a moment. It's true that it has been this way for what seems like forever, but the memories tell us that it has not always been. People felt things once. You and I have been a part of that, so we know. We know that they once felt things like pride and sorrow and love. Jonas added, remembering the family scene that had so affected him. And pain? He thought again of the soldier. The worst part of holding the memories is not the pain. It's the loneliness of it. Memories need to be shared. I've started to share them with you, Jonas said, trying to cheer him. That's true. And having you here with me over the past year has made me realize that things must change. For years, I felt that they should, but it seems so hopeless. Now, for the first time, I think there might be a way, the giver said slowly. And you brought it to my attention, barely, he glanced at the clock, 2 hours ago. Jonas watched him and listened. It was late at night now. They had talked and talked. Jonas sat wrapped in a robe belonging to the giver, the long robe that the elders wore. It was possible, what they had planned, barely possible. If it failed, he would very likely be killed. But what did it matter if he stayed? His life was no longer worth living. Yes, he told the giver, I'll do it. You think I can do it? I'll try anyway, but I want you to come with me. The giver shook his head. Jonas, he said, the community has depended on all of these generations, back and back and back, on a resident receiver to hold their memories for them. I've turned over many of them to you in the past year, and I can't take them back. There's no way for me to give them back if I have given them. So if you escape, once you're gone, and Jonas, you know that you can never return. Jonas nodded solemnly. That was the terrifying part. Yes, he said. I know, but if you come with me... The giver shook his head and made a gesture to silence him. He continued. If you get away, if you get beyond, if you get to elsewhere, that will mean the community has to bear the burden themselves of the memories you've been holding from them. I think that they can, and that they will acquire some wisdom, but it will be desperately hard for them. When we lost Rosemary 10 years ago, her memories returned to the people. They panicked. And there were such few memories compared to yours. When your memories return, they'll need help. Remember how I helped you in the beginning, when the receiving of memories was so new to you? Jonas nodded. It was scary at first, and it hurt a lot. You needed me then, and now they will. It's no use. They'll find someone to take my place. They'll choose a new receiver. There's no one ready for training. Not right away. Oh, they'll speed up the selection, of course, but I can't think of another child who has the right qualities. There's a little female with pale eyes, but she's only a 6. That's correct. I know the one you mean. Her name is Catherine, but she's too young, so they will be forced to bear those memories. I want you to come, Giver, Jonas pleaded. No, I have to stay here, the Giver said firmly. I want to, Jonas. If I go with you and together we take away all of their protection from the memories, Jonas, the community will be left with no one to help them. They'll be thrown into chaos. They'll destroy themselves. I can't go. Giver, Jonas suggested. You and I don't need to care about the rest of them. The Giver looked at him with a questioning smile. Jonas hung his head. Of course they need to care. It was the meaning of everything. And in any case, Jonas, the Giver sighed, I wouldn't make it. I'm very weakened now. Do you know that I no longer see colors? Jonas's heart broke, and he reached for the Giver's hand. You have the colors, the Giver told him, and you have the courage. I will help you have the strength. A year ago, Jonas reminded him, when I had just become a 12, when I began to see the first color, you told me that the beginning had been different for you, but that I wouldn't understand. The Giver brightened. That's true. And do you know, Jonas, that with all of your knowledge now, with all of your memories, with all that you've learned, still, you won't understand? Because I've been a little bit selfish. I haven't given any of it to you. I wanted to keep it to myself for last. Keep what? When I was a boy, just younger than you, it began to come to me. But it wasn't the seeing beyond for me. It was different. For me, it was hearing beyond. Jonas frowned, trying to figure out that. What did you hear? He asked. Music, the Giver said, smiling. I began to hear something truly remarkable, and it's called music. I'll give you some before you go. Jonas shook his head emphatically. No, Giver, he said. I want you to keep that, to have that with you when I'm gone. Jonas went home the next morning, tearfully greeting his parents, and lied easily about what a busy, pleasant night he'd had. His father smiled and lied easily, too, about his busy and pleasant day the day before. Throughout the school day, as he did his lessons, Jonas went over the plan in his head. It seemed startlingly simple. Jonas and the Giver had gone over it and over it, late into the night hours. For the next 2 weeks, as the time for the December ceremony approached, the Giver would transfer every memory of courage and strength he could to Jonas. He would need those to help him find the elsewhere that they were both sure existed. They knew it would be a very difficult process. Then, in the middle of the night before the ceremony, Jonas would secretly leave his dwelling. This was probably the most dangerous part, because it was a violation of any major rule for any citizen not on official business to leave a dwelling at night. I'll leave at midnight, Jonas said. The food collectors will be finished picking up the evening meal remains by then. And path maintenance crews don't start work that early, so there won't be anyone to see me, unless, of course, someone is out on emergency business. I don't know what you should do if you're seen, Jonas, the Giver said. I have memories, of course, of all kinds of escapes, people fleeing from terrible things throughout history, but every situation is individual. There's no memory of one like this. I'll be careful, Jonas said. No one will see me. As receiver in training, you're held in very high respect already, so I think you wouldn't be questioned very forcefully. I'd just say I was on some important errands for the receiver. I'd say it was all your fault that I was out after hours, Jonas teased. They both laughed a little nervously, but Jonas was certain that he could slip away unseen from his house, carrying an extra set of clothing. Silently, he would take his bicycle to the riverbank and leave it there, hidden in bushes without the clothing folded beside it. Then he would make his way through the darkness, on foot, silently, to the annex. There's no nighttime attendant, the Giver explained. I'll leave the door unlocked. You simply slip into the room. I'll be waiting for you. His parents would discover when they woke that he was gone. They would find a cheerful note from Jonas on his bed telling them that he had gone for an early morning ride along the river and that he would be back for the ceremony. His parents would be irritated but not alarmed. They would think him inconsiderate and they would plan to chastise him later. They would wait, with mounting anger for him. Finally, they would be forced to go, taking Lily with them to the ceremony, without him. They won't say anything to anyone, though, Jonas said, quite certain. They won't call attention to my rudeness because it would reflect on their parenting. And anyway, everyone is so involved in the ceremony that they probably wouldn't notice that I'm not there. Not that I'm a 12 in training. I don't have to sit with my group anymore. So Asher will think I'm with my parents or with you, and your parents will assume you're with Asher or with me. Jonas shrugged. It will take everyone a while to realize that I'm not there, and you and I will be long on our way by then. In the early morning, the giver would order a vehicle and a driver from the speaker. He visited other communities frequently, meeting with other elders. His responsibilities extended over all the surrounding areas, so this would not be an unusual undertaking. Ordinarily, the giver did not attend the December ceremonies. Last year, he had been present because of the occasion of Jonas's selection, in which he was so involved, but his life was usually quite separate from that of the community. No one would comment on his absence or the fact that he had chosen this day to be away. When the driver and vehicle arrived, the giver would send the driver on a brief errand. During his absence, the giver would help Jonas hide in the storage area of the vehicle. He would have with him a bundle of food, which the giver would save from his own meals during the next 2 weeks. The ceremony would begin with all of this community there, and then Jonas and the giver would be on their way. By midday, Jonas's absence would become apparent, and that would cause for serious concern. The ceremony would not be disrupted. Such a disruption would be unthinkable, but searchers would be sent out to the community. By the time his bicycle and clothing were found, the giver would be returning. Jonas, by then, would be on his own, making his journey to elsewhere. The giver, on his return, would find the community in a state of confusion and panic, confronted by a situation they had never faced before, and having no memories from which to find either solace or wisdom. They would not know what to do and would seek his advice. He would go to the auditorium where people would be gathered still. He would stride onto the stage and command their attention. He would make the solemn announcement that Jonas had been lost in the river. He would immediately begin the ceremony of loss. Jonas. Jonas, they would say loudly, as they once had the name Caleb. The giver would lead the chant. Together they would let Jonas's presence in their lives fade away, and they would say his name in unison more slowly, softer and softer, until he was disappearing from them, until he was no more than an occasional murmur, and then, by the end of the long day, gone forever, not to be mentioned again. Their attention would turn to the overwhelming task of bearing the burdens of memories, and the giver would help them. Yes, I understand that they'll need you, Jonas said at the end of the lengthy discussion and planning. But I'll need you too. Please come with me. He knew his answer even as he made the final plea. My work will be finished, the giver had replied gently, when I have helped the community to change and become whole. I'm grateful to you, Jonas, because without you I would have never figured out a way to bring about the change. But your role now is to escape, and my role is to stay. But don't you want to be with me, giver? Jonas asked. The giver hugged him. I love you, Jonas, he said. But I have another place to go. When my work here is finished, I want to be with my daughter. Jonas had been staring glumly at the floor. Now he looked up, startled. I didn't know you had a daughter, giver. You told me you had a spouse. I never knew about your daughter. The giver smiled and nodded. For the first time in their long months together, Jonas saw him look truly happy. Her name was Rosemary, the giver said. Fuck, dude. All right, I'm going to call it. There's like 3 chapters left, and I'll finish them tomorrow. By now, I will probably have given everybody a trigger warning for this section. So if you miss it, I will try to do some sort of TLDR somewhere. I mean, if you're at the end of this, you've heard it and you've already seen the TLDR, but yeah, it was heavy. So, take care of yourselves, everybody. I love you all very much. I will do one more. That will be the last reading from this book because I was stubborn and wanted to read more today. And I'm greatly regretting not having ordered the others, but I will do that as soon as possible. I love you all. Take care of yourselves. Be kind to each other. And, I don't know, look for something happy after that one because that one's really fucking sad. Bye, guys.